Hi everyone. Welcome to our next online sermon with Westside Baptist Church. It's great to have you here tuning in. Today we're going to be exploring John chapter 12, reading from verse 1 to 11. So we're going to be resuming our series in the Gospel of John, and we're going to read now John chapter 12 from verse 1 down to verse 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Let's pause to pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word, that he would help us to understand it and to apply it to our own lives. So let's pray to God now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can freely read it. We pray for your help to understand it now as we explore these verses. Please speak to our hearts. Challenge us in where we're at, that you would teach us to be more like your son, and that we would be people who would worship him and show devotion to him in all that we do. And we pray in his precious name. Amen. What are you devoted to? What do you invest all your time and money into? Well, if you're not sure what you're devoted to, ask your close friends or family, what am I devoted to? And they'll almost certainly be able to tell you what it is. Being devoted to something is often a very good thing. Think about a devoted mother, a devoted teacher, a devoted worker, a devoted friend. It's very admirable to be described like this. But being devoted to something may not be all good. We may not always have our priorities straight. So what are you devoted to? I have a friend that when growing up, he was devoted to cars. As soon as we could drive, he quickly had impressive and powerful cars. He loved working on cars. He left school early and he became a mechanic. He bought cars. He flipped them. He sold them on. He even opened his own garage. He even let me drive one of his Subaru Imprezas once while he was working on my little Toyota Corolla. He was devoted to cars. That was his life. But what are you devoted to? Is it your job? Does all your time and energy go into your career and progressing as far as you can, as fast as you can? You work late, you start early, you don't take all of your holidays because that wouldn't look good. Are you devoted to your family? Are your family or your kids or your grandkids all that occupy your mind? Are they the highest priority to you? Are you devoted to money? Getting as much of it as you can? Or getting more just so you can spend it on the latest fashion or the latest technology? Is that what fills your mind when you wake up and when you go to sleep? If you're not sure what you're devoted to, look at what you do with your money. Look at how you spend your time, and that will quickly tell you what's important to you and what is a priority to you. In our passage today, we encounter contrasting characters in terms of where their devotions lie. We see Mary, someone who is devoted to Jesus and his mission. We see Judas, who is devoted to his own selfish gain. We see the chief priests, who are devoted to power, not letting that go. So as we think today, I want to firstly say, be devoted to Jesus, no matter the cost. Be devoted to Jesus, no matter the cost. First, let's look at Mary. Of course, we've met Mary before. She's Lazarus' sister, and Jesus was a good friend of this family. We saw in the last chapter that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You may also remember the account from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is at their house, Martha is busy about the house, and wonders where Mary is. Do you remember she finds Mary listening at Jesus' feet? Well, here again, in John chapter 12, we find Mary at Jesus' feet. Only this time it's not listening to his teaching, but it's to express her devotion to him in an extravagant and beautiful way. They're at a dinner which was being given in honour of Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, well, what's Mary doing under the table at Jesus' feet? Well, the way dinner parties happened in Jesus' time was a bit different to how we might imagine them today. All of the guests would have been reclined around the table. Like, imagine when you're really tired and you're on your couch and you're half lying down, you're half sitting up, and you've got your snacks in front of you. You don't need to move and you can just relax and eat your food. Well, that's how they used to eat together. Their heads would be up towards the table where the food was and their feet stretched out away from the table. So Mary came up to where Jesus was reclining and she took a pint of pure nard, which was an expensive perfume, and poured it out on Jesus' feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. This was something that raised many eyebrows in the room. The extreme expense of the perfume is criticized, as we'll see in a little while. And the fact that Mary lets down her hair, which was not common in public for women to do, she throws caution to the wind and begins wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. This is truly an extravagant act of devotion from Mary. Even today, perfume is expensive, isn't it? I did a quick search, and the most expensive perfume that I could find was on Brown Thomas's website. It was a 100ml bottle by Frederic Malle, and it was €1,060. So men, you can start saving for Christmas 2023, and you might be there. Well, the perfume that Mary used was even more expensive. We see it might be in your note or might be in your text that it was worth about 300 denarii. Now, a denarii was the amount a worker got paid for a day's work. So today, if we took even minimum wage for our calculations, this perfume would have cost over €24,000. This was an extravagant act of devotion. This act was lavish, extravagant. No expense was spared in how Mary was showing her love and devotion to Jesus. But how does Jesus respond to this luxurious act of worship? He accepts it. He defends Mary from criticism, and it's because he is worthy of worship. Jesus is worthy of extravagant and costly worship. Because of who he is, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the Son of God, he is worthy to receive this kind of devotion and worship. It's not a waste. It couldn't have been spent better. Jesus was worthy of this extravagant expression of devotion. Mary was devoted to Jesus and his mission. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." This perfume had been intended for Jesus' burial. So Mary, in performing this act, was preparing Jesus' body for burial. As was their custom to anoint the body after death, this is pointing towards the pending death and burial of Jesus. When compared to the disciples' own confusion, to their disbelief and at times refusal to accept Jesus' mission, which was his reason for coming to die on the cross, Mary quietly and humbly and gently anoints Jesus' body with this extravagant and beautiful perfume in preparation for his mission, for where he was going. And where Jesus must go on to teach his disciples about washing each other's feet in the next chapter, we have Mary here washing Jesus' own feet. She gets it. She's on board. She is devoted to Jesus and his mission, no matter the cost. Well, are you devoted to Jesus and his mission, no matter the cost? Is he the one that fills your mind when you wake, when you go to sleep? Your intentions and desires through the day, are they shaped by Jesus? Is Jesus and his mission the most important thing to you? His mission now is that we as his people would be a shining light together to invite, to attract, to draw others into his family that they might know him as well. No matter the cost. Sometimes this sort of mission is costly. For Mary, it cost her a really expensive perfume, a year's wages for this beautiful act of worship. But maybe this service to Jesus for you might cost you a relationship. Maybe your friends just won't accept that this is what you live for and what you believe. Maybe it'll cost you a high-flying career. Maybe you had always wanted a particular job, but because you just want to be more available to serve Jesus and his mission, to be part of his church, you've opted for something else. Maybe it will cost you financially. Giving to the work of the gospel, to those in need, instead of spending money on unnecessary luxuries. Maybe it will even cost you your life. We don't face that kind of persecution here now, but there are many who, by choosing to be devoted to Jesus and his mission, they're putting their very lives at risk. But we do this because he is worthy. Jesus is worthy of this costly devotion. He's worthy of this sacrifice. He's worthy of this kind of worship. So be devoted to Jesus, no matter the cost, because he is worthy. The second thing I want to say is, watch out for what you are devoted to. Let's take a look at some of the other characters that we come across in this passage. Mary's extravagant act of devotion is met with criticism, and it's Judas here that's highlighted as the one who objects. Look again at what he says in verse 5. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. It might be a reasonable objection given the high cost of the perfume and all the potential help it could be to those in poverty. Is that not a commendable objection? Is Judas someone who is so devoted to the poor that he sees something like this and he thinks, imagine all that we could do with that money for those in need? Well, that doesn't seem to be the problem here. Look at verse 6. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas was devoted to something else. He was devoted to his own greedy financial gain. He was the one who looked after the group's money, and he used to help himself to what was there. So maybe Judas is seeing his cut from selling this perfume literally being poured away. Judas was devoted to the wrong thing entirely. He was devoted to his own personal financial gain. His heart wasn't devoted to Jesus and his mission. It was devoted to the love and the snare of money. He missed it. Judas had missed what Mary had done. If Judas was thinking, what a waste, or if you're thinking, what a waste, you've missed it. Why is it not a waste? Because Jesus is worthy of this kind of extravagance and devotion from his followers. Judas was devoted to the wrong thing. There's only one thing, only one person who is worthy of our complete and undivided devotion, and it's Jesus. And sadly, we see Judas' weakness for money surface later. It's referenced here in this passage when Judas agrees to betray Jesus, and it's for money, for 30 pieces of silver. He was devoted to the wrong thing. Let's look at another group. It's the chief priests next. Another group of characters that we find here who are devoted to something and extremely devoted and motivated at that. But what are they devoted to? Well, we're reaching fever pitch as we come to the end of this passage. The light of the world, Jesus, is shining brightly. He's raised Lazarus from the dead. Many are coming to faith. But yet the storm is brewing. The winds are picking up because now more names are being added to the chief priest's hit list. Lazarus' name gets added. Look at verses 10 and 11. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The chief priests are devoted to staying in power, no matter the cost, even murder. They're planning to murder Jesus, and as the saying goes, in for a penny, in for a pound, they might as well deal with Lazarus while they're at it. They are devoted to remaining in power, devoted to taking Jesus and anyone who furthers his cause out of the picture. They have got it all wrong. Their devotion is totally misplaced. Instead of pursuing power and authority, they should have been devoted to the one who is all-powerful and has all authority, Jesus himself. So can we do a check on ourselves? We need a microscope to look down into our hearts to see what are we devoted to. We need to watch what we are devoted to. What is it that has your heart? What do you spend your hours thinking and dreaming about? We all have passions and interests that take up a lot of our time, and it's a very good thing. But what's at the root of it all? Are our passions and interests an end in themselves? Material gain, job progression, family happiness, stable health and fitness, popularity and socializing. Being devoted to these things as an end in themselves is devotion that is totally misplaced. Because our devotion needs to be firmly and squarely with Jesus. Devoted to him personally and to his mission. Living and working and enjoying life as he wants us to. And being devoted to him may well include material gain, job progression, family happiness, or it may not. It may include poverty, unemployment, or loss. We need hearts that do not hold back, that offer not just a year's wages to him, but all of our resources, all of our time, all of our efforts to him. We need to hand over all that we are and all that we have, hearts that would throw off those restraints towards God and worship him fully and freely. Be devoted to him no matter the cost. Remember, because he is worthy. He's worthy of extravagant and costly devotion. Being close to Jesus doesn't guarantee that your priorities are straight, that your devotion is in the right place. Judas was one of the 12, but his devotion was all wrong. We might listen to sermons every week or even read our Bible every day. We might spend time when we can with people from church. But we need to check our hearts. We need to watch out for what we are devoted to. Before we finish up, maybe a question has been raised in your mind from this passage. Well, what about the poor? Because Jesus uses the phrase, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." That's in verse 8. So this material extravagance for Mary was appropriate with Jesus physically being there. But now that Jesus is not here physically, we can't do the same thing. We can't honour him in this way, anointing him with expensive perfume. But the poor are still with us. Jesus commends Mary for her extravagant act, while also reminding us that the poor will always be among us, and we have a responsibility to help. This was a unique time when Jesus was physically present with his disciples, and an act like this was possible. So we want to have extravagant hearts of worship that overflow in devotion and service to Jesus, no matter what the cost, to us personally or corporately as a church. And one way that's very clear in which we can serve Jesus now is through costly service and help to those who are poor and in need. That's one way that we can be devoted to Jesus, is in the service of those who are in need and who are struggling. Personal cost, or cost to us as a church, is worthwhile in the service of Jesus because he is worthy of devoted and costly worship. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much for this passage in John, which reveals how worthy your son Jesus is of this extravagant worship. We thank you for this example that Mary has set in how her heart was fully devoted to Jesus and his mission. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to search our hearts, to find those areas where we are devoted to things that distract us from you, where our devotion isn't fully with you. Lord, warm our hearts towards you. Draw us back so that we would be devoted to you fully and completely with everything that we have, no matter the cost. Lord, guard us against pursuing things that distract us and take us away, things like we've seen in this passage. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are a God who is worthy of this extravagant sort of worship. Jesus, you are worthy of this worship and praise and honor. Help us, Lord, to honor you, to be devoted to you in our day-to-day lives, in all that we do, that our desires and our actions and our thoughts would be in line with our devotion to you. We thank you for teaching us and helping us. Please help us in this coming week by your Spirit to work these truths out, to be devoted more fully to you And Lord, to count that cost, to sacrifice those things that we might want to hold on to in service to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for your help to us. And we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.